You're listening to the STC Foundation's podcast. This year we're looking at the four Gospels, an opportunity on a Monday to Friday to worship and pray as we reflect on a thought from the Bible.
Hello and welcome to a new week of our Foundation's daily podcasts. My name's Liam and I'm part of the staff team here at STC. Last week, Dave took us through the next part of Matthew's Gospel, ending with the Transfiguration. This is the moment where Jesus reveals to his three closest disciples his true identity as God's Son, as the Messiah, the one whom God has appointed to rule over this new kingdom he's building. And as we pick up the thread again this week, we move from looking at who Jesus is to what his kingdom will be like. What does it look like to allow God to influence and shape our lives? That's in essence what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples as they journey together over the course of 3 years. In the first part of today's reading, which you can hear in full at the end, we read about Jesus healing a boy possessed by a demon, an amazing miracle, another astonishing example of God's compassion. Yet, this doesn't seem to be the main focus of this short passage. We're drawn to the conversation that Jesus has with the disciples immediately afterwards. Now, we earlier learned that the boy's father had brought his son before the disciples first, before coming to Jesus, and had asked them to heal him, but they couldn't. Let's read from verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Now, this seems like an obvious question, doesn't it? They are disciples, after all, learners on the job. They ask the obvious question, why couldn't we do it? What were we doing wrong? Reading from verse 20, he, Jesus, replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Jesus' response is perhaps not the obvious one back, and it seems a little harsh, to be fair. They might have expected him to say, "Well, it's because you didn't pray hard enough that you didn't heal this boy, or you didn't pray for long enough, or maybe you did it the wrong way." But no, Jesus says, "It's because you have so little faith." I mean, wow. What is Jesus saying here? In the letter to the Hebrews, we read that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is something which enables us to trust God even when we can't see him. Faith is being certain that even though we can't see it, God is working, he's speaking, and that he's with us. Jesus says to the disciples, "You have so little faith," which is perhaps a bit confusing, as given what we already know about these young men, it would seem that they clearly do. I mean, they've given up everything to follow Jesus. So what is he saying here? Well, it would seem that Jesus is saying to them that it's not that they don't have faith. It's that it's not truly in him. It's in themselves. To emphasize his point further, Jesus talks about only needing to have faith the size of a mustard seed. He's saying that it's really not about the size of your faith. It's who or what you put it in. Jesus is trying to teach his disciples something here about faith, about fully trusting in God, knowing that he will soon leave them when he ascends to his Father in heaven. "Do you really trust me?" Jesus is, in effect, asking them. Faith is God's gift to us. The Bible's clear, we can't muster up faith in God. It's something we receive through Jesus, through his death and resurrection. Our own salvation comes through faith in him, which is a gift from God. So faith is God's work, it's God's doing and it's not ours. And Jesus knew that in order for his disciples to function as leaders in his new community, they needed the gift of faith and they needed to recognize the power and the authority of the one in whom they had put their trust. They needed to know that healing the sick, seeing people come to know Jesus, advancing his kingdom, it's not their doing, it's his. But through faith, he enables us to receive his spirit and be people who he uses to extend his influence in the world around us. What's God saying to us today? Perhaps it's the same question he appears to ask his disciples. Do you really trust me? Do we trust God when it comes to provision, the things we currently need? For healing, when we or others we know are sick? for our future, the things yet to come? And are we willing to continue to trust God even when we can't necessarily see the immediate result of doing so? Do we still believe in a God who can move mountains, who makes the impossible possible? Will we continue to seek him today where we find ourselves lacking? Will we live a life that says, I trust you, God. I believe in you, God. Help me to live by faith this day. A prayer. Jesus, we ask that you would give us the gift of faith this day, that whatever we face this week, we do so knowing that our God is faithful. And help us, Jesus, to live by faith today and to know that our help comes from you, Lord, the one who can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Amen. Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 27. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, they replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon? He asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others? From others, Peter answered. Then the children are exempt, Jesus said to him. But so that we may not cause offence, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we
shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.